Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lickin' on Lending, David Lickin.
Hello, everybody. This is David Lincoln. Welcome to the broadcast Monday, July, August 12th. The clock does move on. The calendar flies by. Hope you guys are having a great summer. It's hot here in Texas. And I don't know about you. My high school daughter started school today. And the college moved my oldest daughter back in, so she gets starting classes next week. It's back to school in Texas. What about your area? Many of us are busy with a lot of stuff. And the industry is definitely going through some changes. Last week, we had one of the barn burner stellar broadcasts that we've had, one of the largest audience ever, when we had Mitch Kider and Kate Berry talking about the lawsuit that took place over LO compensation that recently the CFPB filed against a Utah lender. We talked about it, and it really brought in a lot of listenership. And a lot of people afterwards said, Dave, I mean, what can we do? And we've been saying this on this broadcast for years, that, you know, get prepared, you know what? And then we've been saying the CFPB is going to start filing. But you know what? That's reactive. I mean, we're like, what can you do to be prepared? Yes, you want to be prepared. But what can you do to affect the macro of this, what's going on in the industry? Well, you're going to hear about it today because we have, as our special guest, Amy Sweeney and Jamie Kors of the Mortgage Action Alliance. And a big kudos to the two of you for doing all that you're doing for on behalf of the MBA. And a big thank you to the MBA, specifically David Stevens and the whole group there that is doing what they are to affect change. And we're creating opportunities where we can make a difference. So last week we talked about a problem. We talked about it being what it is, issues that will be sorted out in the courts. A lot of people ask, Dave, what can we do? Well, that's what it is. So I always heard of one boss say, don't bring me a problem unless you have a solution. We brought a problem, now we're bringing a solution. Mortgage Action Alliance. Can't wait to get Jamie and Amy. Sounds like a morning talk show. Jamie and Amy coming to you live a little bit later in the broadcast. We're talking about how you can get involved in the Mortgage Action Alliance and what a difference it can really make. So anyway, special thank you goes out to our sponsors, United Guarantee. Do you know it's your 50th anniversary? What an exciting group and individuals to work with here at United Guarantee, and it's a real privilege to have them as our sponsor. And of course, we want to say thank you to Alamoda as well. Let's get in and talk about what's going on in the markets to start off each and every week and the broadcast with Joe Forrest. We listened to you recorded last week. Joe, you sounded great.
Hey, Dave.
We missed having you on,
thank
but
you.
It's good to have you back on alive. What's happening?
I think the edit machine worked well last week.
Yeah, I did do it. Yeah, not much. You're pretty good. You're with all the edits aren't necessary. So,
yeah. Well, today, Dave,
you predicted in the recording that the markets this last week were going to be quiet, like almost like a
and they were.
Yeah,
they were. I was right for once. You know, today we're up just a little bit. You know, no economic news so far today. MBS prices have really made a pretty nice recovery since the day following. You remember the ISM report that came out early in August, and MBS prices
it
have since improved by that. It really did. And then following that was the jobs report number, which kind of sent prices the other way. But we're up a full point and a quarter since then. And if you go back even further than that, you go back to the June jobs report released on July 5th, we're up 2.25 points. So we've been moving in the right direction anyway. You know, and as I said, last week was going to be expected it to be a quiet week. There was no economic data to speak of to be released. And really, the market is a data-driven market right now, as we saw 2 weeks ago. Just as an example of how the market changed between the 2 weeks with data and without data, you know, in tracking correspondence price sheets I noticed last week in the 5 days they issued six price sheets. So that means one midday price change. So it was really a pretty quiet week compared to the week before where they issued 13 price sheets. So in 5 days they had eight repricings.
Wow.
So, you know, just an indication just how volatile it was and how quiet it was this most recent week. The data that did come out last week was a little stronger than expected. The ISM services were a little better. New jobless claims were a little better than what people were beginning to expect. However, the auctions were weak associated with that. The 10 and 30-year auctions were a little bit weak. The thing that kind of helped drive the market last week were Fed speakers. You know, they came out and they had a very consistent message. The speakers seemed to say that we should expect a tapering to begin this year. The exact time is going to depend on the economic data, which is why we're a data-driven market. And since there was no data last week, there was no significant movement. Now, this week, however, there is a good bit of data to be released. Tomorrow, the retail sales comes out at 8:30. It should be an important one. And then inflation data comes out. The next 2 days, also on Thursday, there's the manufacturing data, New York Empire Index, and the Philly Fed. And then on Friday, the housing starts comes out. And so because it's a data-driven market now, pay attention, especially tomorrow and Wednesday and Thursday, and we should probably anticipate a little bit more volatility than we had last week.
There should be no real information. I mean, we're not anticipating any changes in inflation, are we?
No. It's expectations are core inflation to be right about 0.2 for the month, which if you analyze that or you added that to the prior year-over-year rates, we ought to be right in the sweet spot, just above 1.5 and just below 2.
And then you listen to some of these other guys in the financial talk shows when we were helping daughter move. We were in the car listening to some of the weekend talk shows, and it was interesting to have the different ones say, there is inflation. No, there isn't. It's arguments of what's out there. But it moves off the key data, and you are the best provider of all that data. Anything else before we get to an ad break, Joe, that you want to call our attention to? Well, it's good to have you back, Joe, from Boston, and I'm glad you had a good trip. And It's always fun to hear your voice, even if it's recorded, but it's so much more fun to have you live so we get to chat with you. So, folks, we're going to be right back. Paul Mala is going to be coming on right after the break, talking to us and giving us an update on the headlines. Can't wait to get his stack, report on what's happening on in the headlines today. So stay tuned. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Economic uncertainty has created a tremendous amount of market volatility for the past few weeks. Intraday price changes seem the rule rather than the exception. Have you been surprised by a midday price change? Have you been frustrated as you locked a loan just ahead of a price movement? Found it difficult to explain to a customer why the rate you quoted is no longer available? MBS Quoteline can eliminate these frustrations. MBS Quoteline monitors Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and Ginnie Mae mortgage-backed security prices in real time. It makes the information conveniently available on your desktop, smartphone, or by email or text message. These are the same prices used to set mortgage rates each morning and to issue midday price changes when significant movement occurs. With MBS Quoteline, you'll never be out of touch with the market,
whether you're in the office or on the road.
See for yourself what MBS Quoteline can do for you. Go to mbsquoteline.com to start a risk-free two-week trial.
mbsquoteline.com.
646-716-4972. The Lincoln on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lincoln.
Good to have you back with us, and it's good to have Paul Mala back with us. He was in return for vacation. He was buried last week. We've got him on the line today. Paul, what you got in the headlines today?
Well, from our website, www.imfnews.com, we have an update on what's going on with the cash call sale. The company's been on the block, I've been told, on and off for a year. You know, there's been a lot of interest in refi shops, but that's waned when rates spiked. The big concern about selling a refi shop like Cash Call, I mean, 95%, 90% of its business is in refis. So as the market tilts towards purchases, people are, you know, wondering, well, what am I getting for my money? The company hasn't returned many phone calls of late, so we really haven't got a good update. I did talk to Paul Redden, who started the firm. a couple months ago, and he basically gave us the story that, yeah, he's open for bids. And so that got the story rolling. You know, another interesting thing that came out when we're talking about profitability of refi shops, a new SEC filing, which is on our website, imfnews.com, mentions NationStar and Greenline Financial. That deal closed back in June. But some new details on Greenline's profitability are in a new SEC report. And it's interesting. Last year, Greenline, which is a refi telemarketing shop, took in revenues of $82 million against expenses of $127 million, which means it had a net profit last year of $55 million, which is pretty sweet. Of course, that was last year, and we don't know what it's, you know, we don't know what its numbers are looking like. You know, I talked to a lot of warehouse guys, and we're actually doing an update on warehouse lending coming up in Inside Mortgage Finance. But, you know, volumes are still pretty decent out there.
They are.
Profitability is still very strong, but it's not as, you know, it's not where it was, you know, late last year and in early 2013. And that should really surprise no one, as you well know, because I know your firm looks at,
exactly.
You know, does reviews of companies and
yep.
sells stuff. So, you know, I guess the good news is that the business is still healthy. Profit margins are dropping. And I know you guys are working on deals, and we're waiting to hear an update from what you guys are working on one of these days. I'll have to pin you and Chuck Klein down.
Yeah,
you
always want. Like trying to help get you in the inside scoop of what's going on. There is a lot going on, and we have probably reason to talk again.
Sure,
go ahead. No, I just
Go
ahead. We're a little delay, and I apologize. Go ahead.
You speak.
I do my best to listen every time Paul talks. I listen like the old ad goes, you know.
All right, let's talk about HAMP activity. That's dropping a little bit. That should surprise no one, though. There's some more bulk market MSR deals out there from Interactive Mortgage Advisors in Denver. We know Presswick Group is working on a few, so is Mountain View. MIAC's got some bulk deals out there. One interesting thing that's on the website, www.imfnews.com, Harry Reid late last week apparently came out and made some public comments about President Obama's views on Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac reform, and he basically said, let's not rush anything, and he seemed to support Fannie and Freddie, saying, you got to keep in mind these things were created during the Great Depression, they served a real purpose up until, you know, 2000 and whatever, 7, 6, 7, 8. And there's a lot of people in the trades are, you know, basically wondering if, you know, with Reid coming out there and supporting the GSEs, maybe some of the crazy talk about liquidating these things will die down. So that's all the good stuff. If you want to ask me a few questions, go ahead, David.
Well, I think it's the first time I've ever, it was one of the few things I agreed with Harry Reid saying. I'm going, my gosh. And then last week, you know, Obama's out there saying, let's get big government out of the mortgage industry. And I'm going, my gosh, has there been a polar shift here? And then Reid saying things that make sense. It's kind of astounding. I'm looking at the website right now regarding the bull market. Your article that you've got published on the bull market continues to spit out the MSR offering. Can you comment a little bit on that? Because I thought that was a really great article when I was listening to it or reading it a little bit earlier.
Well, you know, MSR is, you know, a lot of what's being sold these days that's getting the attention is, you know, relatively new stuff. You know, these are MSRs that are created within the last 12 months, and they're getting good prices, I'm told, four times the servicing fee, maybe four and a half for some of this stuff. We all know the legacy stuff is still out there, depending on who you listen to. There's going to be $1 trillion to $2 trillion in legacy MSRs that are going to change hands over the next 2 years. But, you know, a lot of the bulk deals we're seeing out of the companies like IMA and Mountain View and Presswick, you know, a lot of these are relatively new production. There's flow deals. Apparently,
right.
The flow market's really strong. So, you know,
that's
good news if you're a seller. If you're a buyer, you're obviously paying up a lot more right now than you could have gotten this stuff a year ago. So.
Yeah, I was talking to David Stevens and Austin Tillman about this, and they were saying, you know, a year ago they couldn't find bidders, and now everyone's coming out of the woodwork. So I think we can anticipate that staying strong. There's a lot of great information, folks, on this website, www.imfnews.com. I'm reading and looking at the article by George Brooks on VA origination still humming along, comma, well, sort of. That's one you're going to definitely want to read. Get over there and read it. It's a great group, great resource. Paul, we thank you for taking time out of your busy, busy day there. And get jumping on the line with it. Really appreciate it. Say hi to Guy and everyone over there on our behalf. Appreciate it so much.
Will do.
Alice Alvey, so good to have you here with us, filling us in. And we had a very interesting discussion last week, Alice, as you know, about with Mitch Kiter and Kate Berry on the whole issue of LOCOMP. And we asked you to come back and give us some more information today. And so what you got for us?
Well, it was interesting, Dave. You know, after the show, we always have our post-call, and Andy Schell and I started going back and forth on, well, what about this and what about that? And we thought, well, let's share that with our listeners, right? So to give everybody just a quick background, you definitely need to go back and listen to last week's show when Mitch Kiter was on, because certainly I'm not trying to be a lawyer. But from a practical standpoint, when you say, you know, we've got a company that is out there that pretty much had a clean reputation. You know, it wasn't one of those companies where people said, oh, those people, you know.
Yeah,
you know, and they're now, right, you know, we all, sometimes you hear a company's name and then there's, you go, oh, that's not a surprise. But, you know, that wasn't
that's
the case here.
Yeah, but this one was.
Right. I don't know them, but that's what other folks were saying. So you end up with, now you have a lawsuit and a company's trying to now defend itself and its practices. And it all so much boils down to something, you know, Andy and I talk about repeatedly, and that's process matters and what does your paperwork look like, and then some of the what ifs. So the lawsuit, you know, we're still going to wait and see what happens, but ultimately it boils down to, can you defend yourself with your paperwork? And there was also the issue of, we start talking about how can I pay bonuses? How can I pay other compensation to originators? And that's where the discussion started to get long. So, Andy, I'm going to ask you to jump in here. And for my segment, we're going to share a little bit with our listeners of what we were talking about. And I think you had an important point, too, that you wanted everyone to recognize, and that is, when we talk about this rule that you can have bonus compensation paid and there's now this cap of 10% bonus and is this some type of safe harbor, that's not even effective yet. That's not effective until January 1st, right?
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah, that's what Mitch was saying on the show last week.
Yeah. So don't forget that point, folks, because, you know, we have some folks who have plans out there now and they're trying to structure it with this advice in mind, but that's not technically effective to January 1st. They did move the effective date to be straight up January 1st and not the 10th or the 14th as everything else. And really, I recommend just thinking January 1st. But it is going to be January 1st so you can keep your payroll records clean. So I started thinking about, okay, if I have a bonus plan that I set in place and I think I meet the 10% cap, I pay my loan officer a bonus last year, I pay it to them this year, and next year's great too. But then 2014, all the refis are gone, or 2015, all the refis are gone, and my company's not profitable. What if I cut that bonus to that loan officer, or I simply say, hey, I can't afford to pay you? So in hindsight now, can a regulator look and say, well, then it clearly must have been, that bonus must have been based on loan terms and profitability of loan mortgages and therefore interest rates. And so in hindsight, do we have a problem with compensation? Should we be looking, you know, always think of it, a regulator has hindsight.
Yes, you raise a great point, Alice. And I think the answer from my perspective, again, I'm not a lawyer either, I'm a CPA, is yes.
Right.
I think we do have a problem because they just, if you have a bonus structure that's based on pull-through, and you're paying your bonus based on pull-through, let's just say, and you do great for a couple of years, and then the subsequent year you don't pay your bonus based on pull-through because your profits are down, that means the bonus really wasn't based on only pull-through. It was subject to profitability, which means it's based on profits. And that's the problem. You have to pay. It's like if someone earns wages, you have to pay them the wages irrespective of your profitability. And it's your job to manage the company in such a way that you reduce expenses, lay off people, cut back staff, whatever you got to do. But paying a bonus, you need to view it as a statutory requirement. It's like paying FICA tax. If you've got a bonus set up that's based on pull-through, it doesn't matter if you're profitable. It can't matter if you're profitable, because otherwise the point that Alice thought through that I think is really very, very significant that we need to think about this, if a bonus is not based on profit, but then in the subsequent year it suddenly is based on profit, then I think you've got a retrospective risk. I think you've got risk in prior years because of that. So that's a great point, Alice.
Well, so Andy, when Mitch was talking, you know, he said, okay, well, you can use some kinds of criteria to identify when a bonus payment is acceptable, right? So if I structure a quarterly bonus based on, like you mentioned, pull-through and quality checks, and I make a list of two, three, or four items that are clearly not loan-related, I mean, have you seen these types of compensation programs actually meet CFPB requirements?
Yeah. Some of the clients that we look at have bonus programs that meet the requirements that are not based on profitability that thus far have not been met with scrutiny. Now, the caveat to all of that is the CFPB drives by looking in the rearview mirror. When the CFPB comes in, it's all based on what you did yesterday and the previous year. So we don't have enough data, I don't think, to really, really nail that down with a high degree of confidence, because we need to be 2 years from now with the CFP coming in looking back to see what we've done to confirm that that really was right. So I guess the shorter answer is, based on what we know today, it looks like that those bonus plans are okay, and I think Mitch would validate that, but we don't know because they haven't been tested.
Well, because you're going to have to be able to show all the paperwork. So you got Bill Smith, loan originator, and here are his quality ratings, and here were his targets, and then here was his pull-through percentage. And so I was thinking, well, if your pull-through percentage goal is 75% and Bill hits 74%, darn, you know, he just missed it. Does anybody at the shop start dissecting, well, you know, that wasn't Bill's fault on half of these loans because appraisals came in low? Or, you know, somebody starts getting subjective with those determinations and Bill gets his bonus anyway, right? Because it now starts to have some level of judgment in it. That seems to me to be impossible to defend in a paper trail. And then so CFPB would assume that the only other criteria then was some other criteria?
You're exactly right. I think that's a huge risk. That's a huge, huge risk. And as you mentioned that, I did think of one circumstance I've seen where that exact same thing has happened. Someone missed the bonus criteria by just a little bit, and the production manager said, I'll pay it to him anyway. And so they did. They just violated their internal guidelines. And that's a problem. That's a problem. You can't do that. The process matters. The definition of your process has to be well-structured, and you have to follow what you said you're going to do. You can't change it just because you want to, as it relates to LO comp.
And that is really the key, is, you know, I think the biggest issue, and we don't know for sure, a lot of water to flow under the bridge as this thing, the particular Utah lender the litigation moves forward and the testimony starts, we'll learn more. But the case is that what Kate reported on is, and again, not saying this is accurate, but we're saying this is what she reported on, and she's a good reporter, so I think she gets her facts right close to that, is that they did not follow what they said. Or, and here's the other thing. I think it was more they could not document that they had followed it accurately. And I think that's the biggest risk in all this, and it's a huge topic. And we keep coming up to, what are we going to do about this? Well, get involved in Mortgage Action Alliance. We're going to be talking about that a little bit. Alice and Andy, this is a good discussion. We just got to keep this one going because it is, without question, the biggest topic that's coming up on the forefront of every business owner's mind. And based on this action with this Utah lender by the CFPB, we know one thing. This is not over. We're going to see other cases like this arising. And so, folks, pay attention to this. It's got to get your attention. So deal with it. But within your own shop, get good advisors in like Alice and Andy. To look over things, the process, the procedures, and go from there. One thing that I want to underscore that the CFPB said, because they hit the impossible task of enforcing an impossible, poorly written law, And they said, you know what, we can't figure it all out. We've got deadlines, so here's the key words. We're just going to have to sort out some of this in the courts. Well, folks, those were alarming words to me then. It's alarming words to all of us now. And it is begun. It is the first case of the Utah lender, and we're going to see more of it. Alex, Andy, any party comments before we get over to the prophet doctor for his segment?
Well, just what you said should be alarming to everybody, because you know who pays for the litigation of the CFPB? We do. You know who pays when they sue us? We do. So we get sued to figure it out. That's just backwards. But no, that's it, Dave. Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I just think, don't assume. Check your records. You know, just you have to have somebody go in, take a look at your information, and confirm. Yes, an outsider looks at my records and agrees that I have documented this properly.
Third-party validation of all the processes, whether outsourced, insourced, great idea. Excellent discussion, you guys. Thank you so much. Folks, we're going to be back with our special guests, Amy and Jamie. I just love that. Rhymes have worked well, and they work well, and we're going to be talking about the Mortgage Action Alliance, what you can do, not just preparing by being your own shop, but focusing on what you can do to affect change in a broad sense in our industry. Folks, we'll be right back after this brief break.
Looking for a full-service mortgage training and consulting company to fit exactly what you need? Mortgage U is your ultimate education and information resource used by lenders to execute high-impact, high-quality training throughout the organization. Mortgage U instructors are mortgage professionals,
providing classroom and web-based delivery,
and has the most sought-after training manuals in the country. Mortgage U has a proven track record, performing customized training programs for hundreds and even thousands of employees, both live and online, on everything from application through loan delivery and insuring. Call Mortgage U today at 800-278-0200 or visit us online at mortgage-u.com. Welcome back to Lickin' on Lending. Our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here's David Lickin.
Hey, the folks just said, hey, you know, that's not the prophet doctor. I said, we're not going to miss the prophet doctor and his wisdom. We're going to go to that, and we're going to go over to Jamie and Amy. So sorry about that. People say, you sound different, Dave. I said, yeah, I'm at the Admirals Club in the Austin airport. I'm flying out to Charlotte later this afternoon, and so I'm doing the broadcast from here from my cell phone. So if it's a little disjunct, that's the reason why. It's good to have each of you as listeners with us, and it's good to have the prophet doctor here. Sorry about that, prophet doctor.
Hi, Dave.
Yeah,
it is fun to say Jamie and Amy. It's Jamie and Amy. Jamie and Amy, drive time in the morning.
Well, they're going to teach us how to drive through and make something happen, that's for sure. So let's talk about some of the things that you have. You had some great thoughts before the broadcast, Daniel. I'd like to have you share those with our listeners, please.
Well, let's think about it this way. Big Brother is watching, and when we talk about what Alice and I were just talking about Alice said it perfectly, process matters, and you have to be able to defend your paperwork. And you got to think about that concept, process matters, how you do it matters. It's not just did you get it done, it's how you got it done. That's the new rule you have to keep in your mind. And in all of this, we want to be proactive in our response to the CFPB issues, not reactive, because when we're reactive, we're probably responding to a lawsuit. So we don't want to do that. We want to be proactive dealing with the CFPB. And the thing we have to keep in mind, too, is laying a couple of foundational points here, Dave, is that Big Brother is watching. And I spent my career in commercial banks, so I'm used to dealing with federal regulators. And federal regulators come in, Big Brother is watching all the banks, because the bank's profitability is important, because not only consumer protection matters, but also the bank profitability matters, because if a bank fails, the FDIC steps in and covers all the depositors' money. So that's why the examiners come in and look at commercial banks, is to protect the FDIC fund in addition to protecting consumers. Now, when you apply that back over to a mortgage company, you get a little bit of a crosswire, but it doesn't really matter, because it is what it is. Process matters. CFPB is the new sheriff in town. Like it or not, we got to follow their rules. The CFPB issued a bulletin last year, a little over a year ago, bulletin 2012-03. It's actually dated in April. It's the third bulletin they issued, and it's all about vendor management. It's about using third parties to support your business. Every single mortgage company out there uses a third party to do something. They use an LOS. They use appraisers. They have a janitorial service. They use credit bureaus. There's all these third parties that are used to make credit decisions and to flow the mortgage lending process. Well, the vendors the mortgage company uses are essential to be well documented in the decision path we've gone through to pick those vendors, and we as the lenders are accountable for the actions of our vendors. So if we hire a big LOS firm and they get hacked and all of our customer social security numbers get taken, we, the lender, are now responsible for the Consumer Privacy Act violations that just took place. We have to be able to demonstrate to the CFPB that we have managed our vendors in a risk profile structure such that we've taken all the vendors that do everything for us, and when I've been the CFO of commercial banks in mortgage lending, we had a list of maybe 100 vendors, and you risk weight them, and then you go in and you actually do a service level agreement validation of the higher risk group. Now, this is something that we've gotten calls from other mortgage companies who are now wanting to have us help them sort through this, and it's going to be a reality for everybody in mortgage lending. This is a new requirement. It's different. It's you kind of think to yourself, why does it matter? Why does a CFPB care which vendor I hire? Well, they do, and they do because that's the way the OCC did it. They do because it affects your business. They do because it affects the consumer's privacy when you have a big data management group holding proprietary data. So all of it matters. All of it's going to be a reality. And then you have to then not only demonstrate, because process matters. I'm going to get that. We should put that on a T-shirt, and Alice and I were at the conference, or all of us were at the conference. Process matters. Because you then have to demonstrate to the CFPB that you have gone through all these steps to manage your vendors, including hiring a third party to validate the service level agreement compliance with the service level agreement. And we're hired regularly by big commercial banks to go evaluate subservicers. Subservicing is probably the biggest, if not one of the biggest, if not the biggest risk point that lenders have in hiring a third party service provider. You have to every year get a service level agreement validation so you can demonstrate to the CFPB that a third party has evaluated your subservicer's compliance with your service level agreement to ensure both the protection of the consumer data and compliance with the service level agreement details that the service provider agreed to provide to the lender. Huge issues, huge issues, and we want to get in front of this. We want to be proactive about the CFPB issues. Bulletin 2012-03 is all about this. Don't wait until they file a suit against you because you didn't do it right. Get in front of it. Get it figured out. We'll be happy to help, whether you use us or not. Read the bulletin. Build a vendor management profile. Get a list of all your vendors. Build a criteria to establish risk profiles. And then get service level agreement validations in place for your significant vendors. Let's get in front of this issue, not behind it, like what's happening so often. And you hate to see it, but let's be proactive about the CFPB. So that's the other thing we need to put on our T-shirts.
Good.
Process matters. Good. Be proactive. Process matters. Be proactive.
You can't say that enough. I just got a text saying, could you have Andy do a whole 30-minute segment on this? Because it's something we think we understand. It's someone I think that knows you, but I would love very much for you to come on and do a whole segment on this. You and Alice just going back and forth. I could sit and listen to it. No wonder the NBA has you coming in speaking to them all the time at all these seminars. So it's good to have you with us, Andy Show, Profit Doctor.
Thanks, my pleasure. And it's always a pleasure to work with you and Alice. It's fun to tag team with Alice. She and I think alike. We work really well together, and so maybe she and I could tag team this vendor management thing. That would be a fun show.
That's exactly right. That's exactly what I like to do. All right, we're going to get on to say a quick thank you to one of our sponsors. I want to say United Guarantee, thank you so much for what you've done. And we'll also could light 50 candles on your cake here and blow them out. But the reality is you are celebrating 50 years of service to this industry. And you certainly have gone through some times that have been difficult like so many out there. And I just want to congratulate you, United Guarantee. Folks, if you have not been or do not have a relationship with United Guarantee, I strongly recommend you go out to their website. They have got, they're updating this thing constantly. I'm at it, looking at it. They're one of our sponsors, so I look at what they're doing and stay up on it. There is so much going on over there. I encourage you to go reach out and connect with the United Guarantee representative. Tell them you heard it on Lincoln and Lenny that they need to meet with you, so that you need to meet with them. And so get a hold of them, and I just can't tell you how happy we are to have them as a sponsor, a proud sponsor of our broadcast, and a happy 50 years of this business. Wish them the best, and may you have 50 more. Continue on. We value participation in this industry. We are going to turn on the mic for Amy and Jamie. It sounds like we are cracking up about this. It just rolls off the top of your tongue so easily, and we're getting their mics on. It's rolling, telling me it's on. Well, I'm working on it here. Just all there's. Do I have you both on? Jamie, I see your mic is on, working on Amy's, getting it turned on. It's there we go. We got both of you on. Good to have you both on the broadcast. I could give you a long introduction, but I want to use the time to talk about MOP. But Amy, very celebrated veteran, spent a lot of time. She and her husband, PJ, have been back, met last year at the State Directors Conference. Just one of those couples you're drawn to because of, they just got this kinetic energy. They go, man, I hope my marriage looks like that from the outside. It's really cool to see them. And then Jamie, of course, I've known for years. Jamie has had us in working with her and her company. It's a real honor, and she's such a consummate professional and someone who just keep your eyes on both of these individuals. They are up-and-comers in the industry. We're pleased to have them both here. Amy, Jamie, are you both there? Well, it looks like we have you guys turned on. Well, yeah, somehow it turned off. I'll fix that again. I love the switchboards when you're doing it remote. So it said it was on, and we're in the process of getting their mics turned on, folks. See, a lot of people say, Dave, how do you do this? I sit here with my MacBook Pro, and I turn on switches virtually. So it's amazing any of this works. Jamie, I thought yours on. Are you there? Well, now this is interesting. We're having a little trouble with the switchboard. Hang in, you guys. I'm working on getting that up and running. And so what I'm going to do is Jamie, it looks like yours is on, and it keeps switching off. That is really weird. Andy, you're backing me up on the switchboard. See if you can get those to click on or off. That would be
all
great.
All right. I'll turn them both on now. So you entertain us with your wit and wisdom, and I'll push the button.
Well, I think one of the reasons we're excited about this particular broadcast is because last week we talked about the LOCOP, specifically the CFPB action towards the lender in Utah, and a lot of us were going, what can we do? We've got to do something here to make a difference. And it is a challenge, and we're really struggling to get that working. So, and we have on the line, on hold, hopefully we'll have them live, and they're like, I've never had this happen in a podcast before, so it must be really good that we're having these issues. Did you get it clicked on, Andy?
Dave, every time I turn their mic on, it immediately jumps to back off. Jamie's now shows that it's on, but it immediately jumps to back off. Only thing I can do is ask them to hang up, dial back in, press 1 when they dial back in.
That,
if we can't get them turned back on.
Yeah. And Alice, because you're from there, both of you are, while they're doing that and logging back in, Jamie and Amy, I'm so sorry. First time in 4.5 years of doing this broadcast, 5 years doing this broadcast, that we've had that. So if you guys can both just hang up, dial back in, that'd be great. And if you could be looking for that, because I want to talk about about what Mortgage Action Alliance is really about. And Alice, you've had some, you're closely affiliated with the MBA, and you're working on this. If you could give us your perspective
sure.
on it, that'd be great.
Well, the Mortgage Action Alliance is a voluntary, nonpartisan, it's the grassroots lobbying network of real estate professionals. It really is something that the MBA has put together that any one of you can join. You do need to, one thing I remember is you do need to make sure you renew annually. You know, maybe you think, I was getting those emails and I noticed I stopped getting them. Well, make sure you do that every year. If they don't, you do need to sign up on an annual basis. And then obviously what they're here for is to hear our voice. One of the best examples I can give is the Department of Labor, right, many years ago came out with a position that, you know, loan officers needed to be paid overtime. Well, the MBA then has worked on that. It's an example of something through the Mortgage Action Alliance where your voice gets heard. You say this is ridiculous. You know, trying to manage paying a loan officer hourly minimum wage is crazy. None of it makes any sense. And then on July 2nd, we got, you know, the three-judge panel agreeing that loan officers did not fall under the administration, and that's through the work of this type of effort and group.
Well, I think we have them both on the line now again. Paul, listeners apologize for that. Amy, Jamie?
Hello.
Yes,
I'm here, Dave.
Hey.
Oh,
yes.
Good to have you. Good, good, good. Okay, good.
Good, good. We got you both on. We hear you now. That four and a half years of doing this, 5 years, almost 5 years doing this broadcast, we've never had that happen. Well, I can't turn it on, but anyway, it's the road and the remote aspects here. But anyway, welcome to the broadcast. I want to start off with you, Amy, and because of the time, I'd love to do a broader introduction, but I want to save every moment right now. Both of you are professionals, and we just appreciate you being here, just consummate professionals, and appreciate, on behalf of those of us who have been in the industry for years, we're so excited for you guys and your commitment, and this is giving a lot of time. You don't make any money doing this, so it's a give back to the industry, and we support the MBA and your efforts. So let's, Amy, let's start off with you by talking about what is Mortgage Action Alliance, and then also contrast with what it is not, Amy.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much for letting both Jamie and I come on today. Jamie and I are very good friends, and we both reside in Phoenix and have been working together in promoting the mortgage industry and all the things that we can do together to help battle all the things that we are having to battle as far as our industry goes. And we appreciate the opportunity to have this format to kind of go out and you know, increase our charges. The Mortgage Action Alliance is a grassroots organization that is free and open to anyone involved in the mortgage industry to go out and have your voice heard. It's basically the grassroots. It's every person who is involved in the industry to be able to have their individual opinions and voice heard on Capitol Hill on both the state and the federal level to basically go out and give their congressional leaders their opinion of what is going on and whether or not they agree with what's being dealt with on the congressional level. So basically, it's a free way to contact their congressional leaders. It's an email campaign. Basically, because everything is done through email nowadays, it's an email campaign that takes 30 seconds to do. It's basically the masses being able to quickly assimilate all of the people in the industry to get our voices heard in a mass marketing type environment.
Yeah, that's the key. The mass part of it. And some of it, just being a member, and we're going to talk about this later in broadcast, but you do not have to be a member of the MBA to join this thing. Well, that's a misnomer we will set aside a little bit later on. But what it is not, is this huge time-consuming thing. Now, what you and Jamie are doing is very time-consuming, but it is not this thing where you are going to be sucked into this thing that's going to take you away from your business. It is something that can be very grassroots, and you don't have to travel to D.C. all the time. We welcome you to, but it does not have to. Is that an accurate statement?
Absolutely, and what it is all you do is you set up your name, email, home address, because it's tied into your legislative and congressional district. You set it up once. A call to action is sent to your email address. Says click here. A pre-printed letter is sent to your email. If you agree with it, you click take action, and that letter is sent directly to the congressional or legislative leader that it needs to go to, and it's done. And that's all we ask for.
Alice, let's run over to you, and looking at those questions, I want to get as much of this information out.
Well, you know, so Amy, or Jamie, I guess, you just talked about, you know, how to get registered. So they automatically send it to the legislator, or you review it first and then you submit it?
I think there's a couple of different things that are being spoken of now. What Amy was originally talking about was the registration. And so, again,
okay.
the registration, the membership, there's no membership dues associated at all. So it is completely free, and it is nonpartisan. So it doesn't matter who's the incumbent or which political party you support. It's entirely nonpartisan, so you can feel free to participate at any level. And so you do just have to go to mortgagebankers.org/MAA, and you go in there, and just it takes about 3 minutes to register. And once you do, you're automatically a member. And so what that means is every single week you're going to receive an email that gives you an update of what is happening on a legislative and regulatory level, both nationally and on a state level, of what exactly is going on. They're very brief, very concise. I know we all get a ton of emails, but it couldn't be easier and more efficient, truly, to stay abreast of what's going on. And then if there is a issue that has reached a critical point, that's when the call to action comes into place. And that is where you're able to actually have your voice directly fed right into your congressional representative, your senator, again, on a state or national level, sometimes there's regulatory issues that are going on. And that call to action, again, is very, very quick and easy to be able to just push a button and have your voice heard.
Well, let's jump back over to Amy. Hi, Amy and Jamie, both of you, thanks for being on the show. It's Andy. Amy, a quick question. It seems very straightforward to me, but it's important for people to understand, why should I join? Why is it important for me to be a part of the Mortgage Action Alliance, aside from the fact that I get a cool sticker on my name badge at the conferences? Why else should I join?
Well, you know, we go around, Jamie and I do a lot of this stuff going around the country trying to explain why it's important to be a member of the Mortgage Action Alliance. And one of the biggest topics that we do talk about is to really bring it home, is to explain that there are about 280,000 industry participants in our industry. So there are about 280,000 of us that are employed in the mortgage banking industry. Now, you would think with 280,000 of us that we kind of take for granted that somebody's out there watching out for us, that somebody's out there making sure that our needs are being taken care of. But unfortunately, what people don't realize is that when we go and we are dealing with a grassroots type of a topic, meaning when we need Congress to hear what we think is important and what we think is going to impact us in a negative or a positive way, we don't have a facility to actually go out and get those 280,000 people to make a statement, to say something very quickly. In fact, the Mortgage Action Alliance is only right now 5,000 people strong. Of
wow.
the 280,000 people. And if you really want to drive home, of the 5,000 people that are on our grassroots list, only 10% actually take action.
Wow.
But this is Joe, and that kind of leads me to my question. Is there value in just being a member, meaning, hey, instead of 5,000, we have 55,000? So just being a member, does that add value, or do you have to then also use the tools and communicate with your representatives?
It's certainly multifaceted. Becoming a member is definitely the first step in the right direction. That's one of the reasons we're here, is to educate people of what the Mortgage Action is and to encourage people to become members. But really, you do have to take that next step, and you have to participate and get involved. As I mentioned before, I know we get a ton of emails, but it's so quick and easy to stay abreast of what's going on. You know, legislation has been changing at mock speeds for several years in a row now, and it's difficult to know exactly what's going on all the time, what's coming down the pike, and reading those emails and educating yourself really is a way to do it in a very quick and concise manner. Another value is that, yes, we only have 5,000 people currently in the database, but that's, you've just now, by becoming a member, grown your network by an additional 5,000 people. And MAW puts on networking events, Mm-hmm. And there's network events so that you can actually get together and get to know people, colleagues in the industry that are like-minded and that want to advocate on an individual level, you know, just as we believe that most people want to. And truly, I believe that the largest value component of MAW is the ability to have your voice heard. If you've ever sat there and thought, geez, you know, this is really crappy what's going on, and, you know, this has affected my career in this way, or I really see the consumer being negatively impacted, if you've ever had those thoughts, what have you done besides just think them? Have you actually taken action and done something? Sometimes people just simply don't know how, and MAW provides the easiest and most quick, efficient way to be able to do that through the call to actions, links you directly into your congressional representative, senator, whoever the most appropriate person is for that critical issue at that point. And it, you know, it really allows you to be able to participate and shape the future of the industry. It lets your representative know, hey, you know, on an ideological level, this may make sense, but let me explain to you as a practitioner how this is actually going to impact our industry, your constituents, your voters, and overall the consumer. And that is the biggest value add that MAW has, is really allowing you that direct chain of communication into the people, the policymakers that right now are directing where their future is going.
We
often have people say, well, look at all these things that we're having to deal with. Look at all the things that are going against the mortgage industry, and look at all these things. You know, why hasn't somebody done something already? And one of the things that I often say to people is, because by the time that we're talking about them in a discussion, by the time we're talking about topics that we need to do something now, the decision has already been made. The problem is that people are not getting involved soon enough in the conversation back when we can make a difference, when things are just being discussed, rather than they're already formulated and they're already in the process. And that's what MAW does. We get involved in the very, very beginning. We get in and say, this is not a good idea.
Amy, why do you think, and by the way, your husband's sending me emails out here, it's extra special to know you have on the broadcast. You just had surgery last week, so the fact that you're on here talking to us, thank you so much. I tell you, he's a special guy.
If I sound a little drugged up, I'm sorry.
No, you don't. But what's drugged up is too many people not participating. We don't know why, but why do you think it isn't a higher participation rate?
You know, I think people assume somebody else is going to do it. We all have this assumption that somebody else is going to take care of us. And honestly, they're not. They are not. We are not being taken care of. We have to make sure that we're each out there fighting for our industry as individuals as well as collectively together.
So true.
Amy, what are some examples of the issues that you're working on right now?
Well, if you think about it, I mean, we're talking about there's so many issues we're dealing with right now. If you look at some of the things that, the administration, Obama was in Phoenix last week talking about all of the housing issues going on with the fact that they want, the taking down Fannie and Freddie. You know, that's been a big issue with the Mortgage Bankers Association on how to wind down Fannie and Freddie and still not negatively impact the economic recovery that we've been seeing. You know, we're dealing with that on a constant basis. We're still dealing with Dodd-Frank. We've got so many issues going on with Dodd-Frank. We've still got issues going on with loan officer compensation and points and fees and QM and all the things that are going to come to a head next January. I mean, there are so many things that we are dealing with on a nonstop basis that if you don't know what we're dealing with, you know, you're behind. And that's
right.
one of the things that the Mortgage Action Alliance is also there – Jamie talked about the multifaceted view of Mortgage Action Alliance. Kelly Williams, who runs MA from the Mortgage Bankers perspective, sends out a weekly email just to update the membership of what has gone on during the week. It is the most up-to-date information on what's politically happened during the week,
yeah,
and the most accurate information of what we can rely on to look forward to the following weeks.
So, Jamie, what are some of the examples of where you were successful? I mean, I know we just had the Department of Labor switch from the view of being paying loan officers overtime. So what are some of the other success stories from MA?
Sure. On a state level, there's been several states that had introduced legislation to broaden foreclosure rulings and service regimens, and they really conflicted with what CFPB had recently implemented, which, you know, when there's a conflict, there's always challenges there. And so through the MA call to actions, we had people advocating from an individual level, and we're able to cease those legislation initiatives in three states. Again, on the state level, eminent domain, many states had tried to implement that strategy, and through call to actions, we were able to thwart that. If you look on more of a national level, House Bill 1077, the Consumer Mortgage Choice Act, we had a call to action that went out asking people to engage their representatives and ask them to co-sponsor this bill. Currently, we have 57 co-sponsors, which is progress. Earlier on in the year, a call to action went out that was successful where we asked members to support the Johnson-Crapo Amendment, which would ensure that the GE fees for Fannie and Freddie would not be increased just to offset unrelated policy or non-housing policy initiatives, to not use the GSEs as piggy banks. So I mean, we have had tremendous success. I certainly would be remiss if I was leading anybody to believe that every call to action leads to success. And I think the way in which that we can ensure that we have a higher success level on more call to actions is by getting people to not only become members but to participate. You know, as Amy was mentioning, if you look at those numbers, they're staggering of how many people are in our industry, how few participate or how few members we have, and then of that, how few participate. We need to increase that membership base and the participation levels, and also we need to have individuals understand what MORPAC is, which supports the advocacy efforts by raising money to help elect and reelect candidates that truly understand our profession in the real estate industry. If you look at some of our initiatives, they're strong and powerful, but they're not representative and truly supportive of the size of our industry, and so we really need more individuals to participate at that level.
Jamie, this is Joe. It's not just Ella. I mean, CEOs and CFOs that need to join, right? It's everybody. It's loan originators. It's processors.
It's absolutely everybody, because no matter what happens in the industry, it ultimately affects everybody who works in the industry. If you look at QM, you know, MA went alongside with MBA and advocated very heavily for QM. Is it perfect? No, but it's vastly better than what it was originally planned. If it had gone in, it was originally proposed, it would have greatly reduced the production, which overall reduced volumes means fewer jobs, right? So these issues,
you know, the
affect
way that
everybody.
I look at it, Jamie, the way that I look at it is if I wake up in the morning and my job relies upon the mortgage industry, then I need to be involved in the Mortgage Action Alliance.
Absolutely.
Because the bottom line is if my job is going to be impacted by legislation that could reduce the amount of production or income that goes into my pocket, why would I not be involved in the Mortgage Action Alliance?
We have 60 seconds left. I want to get in and say, Andy, I know you're itching to do something. I want to make sure we get to talking about how can people sign up. Let's get that before we have to exit the broadcast here. Jamie?
Go to mortgagebankers.org/MAA. Or simply go to the MBA's homepage, click on Advocacy. You'll see the Mortgage Action Alliance button there. You just click on that. It takes about 3 minutes in total, and you're a member.
You're a member, and now that you're making a difference. Andy Schell, I thought it was you out there wanting to say last thoughts. Anything?
Well, no, Dave, just that there were a lot of points still to be made, and we're running out of time, so I think you covered it. How do you join, and that's what we needed to do. Thanks.
Bottom line is we need to get people involved. You got to get involved, folks. If you can't, don't complain. No whining.
Mortgage Action Alliance, MAA, they call it MA. So if you don't join, I'm going to tell MA.
Very good, folks. Thanks so much for tuning in again this week. Tell others about the broadcast. Have a great week, everybody. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
This has been Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. Today's guests were Joe Farr from MBS Quoteline, Andy Schell of Mortgage Banking Solutions, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U. Come by next week and thank you for listening.